Okay, welcome to another edition of the Beer Opinions Podcast. As always, with me is Bruce White of the Chicagoland Beer Tours. How you doing, Bruce?
Oh, man, doing well on a surprisingly snowy mid-March day. Got a nice little snow glow effect outside. I'm if the winter was so warm, I'm okay with it. But, you know, I can't say I'm happy with it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's the weather outside is weather.
Yeah, and there's beer regardless.
You there know? Is. There is beer regardless. It's beautiful up here. We're up here in the Skyline Lounge at Kaiser Tiger.
Yeah,
we've got a view of the skyline, which we can actually still see, and the nice snow coming down. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely Christmas kind of atmosphere in March.
Yeah. How are you doing? How are you
I'm doing great, you know. Yeah. Survived St. Patrick's Day parade on Saturday.
Yeah.
And before that, I was up in at Sierra Nevada in their new North Carolina facility. Doing the beer camp.
Yep.
Which was, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of brewery experiences in my life, and this one is number one, maybe.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredible.
So, in just beer camp, that's where they invite.
So, yeah, there's a couple aspects to beer camp. There's the national rollout beer camp where they invite other breweries to come out, do a collaboration beer, and then they package it in a 6-pack or 12-pack, I'm not sure, and that has a national rollout along with a festival that travels around in the summer.
Yep.
This is their, I'll call it Beer Camp Junior, where they just take nice accounts from around the country, and we make a beer on the pilot system, and it never sees a bottle. It doesn't get packaged like that, but it they do keg some off and then send them to those accounts that they collaborated with.
Oh, that's really cool.
It was
that's awesome. And you were down there for a couple days. Is that
Really quick. It's in Asheville, North Carolina, which I could spend some serious time in.
Yeah,
it was it's like the brewery capital of the world over there.
Yeah,
they claim to have like 80 breweries in and around
small
Asheville.
Town, right?
It's tiny,
like,
man.
30,000 people or something like that. Yeah,
you know, I don't know the exact number, but it was. And my business partner Chris and I went out there, and the town is kind of sleepy during the week. And then on the weekends, it kind of explodes. So it was very cool, very hippie town, you know, which is fun.
Not just smelling hops when you're down there.
A little patchouli, maybe a little something, something else. Who knows? And, you know, Oscar Blues are up there now.
Yeah.
And also New Belgium. And then all of these little fantastic breweries. It's it was a wonderful place.
That's
Can't
awesome.
Wait to go back.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have that on my, like, at the top of my beercation to-do list.
Yeah.
The
Sierra Nevada Brewery up there, I haven't been to Chico, and I understand it's pretty fantastic as well. But this place, you know, no expense was spared. They're a platinum lead facility, which means they have, like, almost 0% waste comes out of there. They have like over 200 acres of land. They've developed 27 acres, I believe, into this just brewery paradise. It's it's fantastic. Wonderful pub, incredible food in the pub. I mean, the food really blew me away. You know, you don't always get great food at a brew pub. This was phenomenal. Of course, the beer is phenomenal. The hospitality was unbelievable. They have a beautiful backyard. They have an amphitheater back there. Bocce ball and bags, kind of like Kaiser Tiger, except about 20 times the size. But yeah, it was, you know, it was really, really impressive, really great. And the brew house, it was out of this world, just like a cathedral of brewing. The processes they go through to make sure that all that beer tastes the same, and not only tastes the same batch after batch, but tastes the same as the batches coming out of Chico. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can imagine that's when, like, the science nerd comes out, right? Because, I mean...
Totally. It was above my pay grade, I'll be honest. Yeah. I know a lot about beer, but when it comes to the science part, you know, not ever having been a professional brewer, these guys were miles ahead.
I feel like reading just in my your knowledge of beer blows mine away. But I feel like the more I go down, the bigger the words get in terms of like learning about beer. And I'm here we go.
You know, beer is one of those things. The more you learn, the more you realize, the more you need to learn.
Yep, you exactly.
Know, it was one of those.
That's cool. And how did it work in terms of the process? Like you checked in and then you basically brewed your batches down there, right, at their facilities?
Yeah, so it was us and two other restaurant groups, one out of Ohio and one out of Iowa. And we all met there for dinner first night, got to know each other, you know, had a nice time. Then in the morning, it was kind of brainstorming the beer. I, of course, bullied my way into us making a lager.
Which, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, you know, it's not
I had you pegged for double IPA, but, you know, that was...
that is what the other participants wanted.
Did they? Really?
Yes, they all were hopheads. And yeah. So we kind of, came to a meeting of the minds of a hoppy lager.
Okay.
So much hoppier than the Germans would allow, but it was still, I think it's still going to be very, very tasty. I'm excited for it. We used some grain from a micro maltster out there. That's the thing now, micro malting.
Yeah, sure.
And we got to go out and visit the maltster and see him hand turning the floor kiln malt and everything. And, really incredible stuff. Truly artisan handmade malt. So we got to throw some of that in the batch, although they didn't have enough for us to even make the whole. We're only making a 20-barrel batch, but Sierra didn't have enough of their malt on hand to make the whole beer out of their malt. But the guy told us on the tour, the amount of malt they make in a year would only keep Sierra Nevada, only would keep the one Sierra Nevada brewery going for 96 hours.
Oh, my God. That just throws it to the scale. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, really incredible experience. I highly recommend if you ever get out to North Carolina, Asheville is a great place to visit and make it over to Sierra Nevada. They're about 15 minutes from downtown Asheville, right by the airport. And, I can't say enough about it. It was fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, I then, I flew in on Friday night. Chris and I went straight to Patty Long's to release my new collaboration beer with Pig Minds, Patty Crack, which is a dry Irish stout, and then was up at, the crack of dawn for parade day on Saturday and just been going strong ever since.
Yeah, and I got to say thank you to you and your staff. My buddies, we have a tradition where we always start at Patty Long's. Get a good Bloody Mary and a beer and a good Irish breakfast to start the day. So thank you.
My pleasure.
Great
Thanks
as
for
always.
Coming. Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
So, that's
It was
awesome.
A great day. Yeah. It's been a great week.
Yep.
And we've still got the real Patty's Day this Friday for the real non-amateur drinkers.
I was going to say, I'm excited because the biggest celebration of the year is coming up. Millions of people from all over the world celebrate. My birthday is on Saturday, and so
you and my youngest son.
All right.
Born under a bad sign.
Yeah, it's a bad sign.
I don't know. I just assume
that would explain a lot for me.
Explains a lot for my youngest.
So
the day after Patty's Day, I imagine my son's going to have this problem too. No one wants to celebrate your birthday.
So usually, this year it'll be okay. Saturday. So people will go out Friday, but I'll still be able to get a few people to go out. But the worst is when it's on a Sunday or a Monday. Cause then I'm like, hey guys, it's my birthday. Let's go grab a beer. And everybody's like, absolute no way. Go, basically go kill yourself.
I'm sure they said go fuck yourself. You can say that on our podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got the...
We're not on the radio.
That's exactly what they said. Go fuck yourself. I'm looking forward to the true Patty's Day. I think I'm going to be at Patty's on Thursday, too. Aren't you teaching something or doing some class?
Well, I'm not sure if it's happening.
Okay.
We better not talk about it.
But okay.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a stout tour coming. I don't know if they're coming anymore.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. Moving on.
Scratch it.
All right. So we wanted to kind of also talk today, kind of going off of the Asheville conversation, this Thrillist article that came out about brewery tours in Chicago. In Chicago, it's absolutely crazy. The brewery tours, the number of breweries in Chicago, we went from, I believe, 8 in 2011, my numbers not be too precise, to over 60 in just a few years. And a lot of these are now starting to offer tours. So it's just really cool. So we're going to kind of chat about that and go through them.
See if we can't give people a little overview of the brewery tours here in Chicago. Brewery tours are a bit of a hobby of mine. I do enjoy them. I'm going to try to give my opinion on these based on what the average person would get on a tour. A lot of these I've toured, and you know they know who I am. They're trying to sell me beer, so they're kind of extra nice to me. But
yeah.
We'll try to go through these and see what they offer as far as a tour goes.
Mm-hmm.
Great article too, by the way. This is out of the Reader.
I said Thrillist. Oh my God. Reader.
Reader.
Really, yeah.
Give Jeez. The Reader their shout
out. Oh my God. Love the Reader. Yeah.
They're dying, I hear.
Yeah.
All right. who's first on the list here?
So first up, we've got Temperance out of Evanston. Have you been on their brewery tour?
I have not.
Yeah,
Don't know that much about. I know the beers, which have gotten really, really good. And
their Gatecrasher's fantastic. I really like that English style IPA.
Yeah,
I think that's a great beer.
I want to say they won a GABF award.
Yeah,
medal.
They did. For that within the last few years. And I love the history there that Temperance was. Of course, named in Evanston because of the Women's Christian Temperance Union was based up there, so it was dry for a long period of time. I think until the 1970s, and then now they're back brewing beer. So
yeah, even when I was in college, when we would play Northwestern in rugby, the after party would be at the Holiday Inn bar because that was the only bar,
the only place you could.
Yeah,
that's
a rule that a hotel could have a bar.
I had a buddy of mine I used to work with. He went to Northwestern in the early '90s, and he's like, man, and he'd come to me. He's just a funny guy. He came to me and he's like, man, my college sucked. And he loves Northwestern. Like, it's not a slight to Northwestern, but he's like, I was in a pretty dry town, and it was the grunge movement, so all the women were wearing flannels, and then AIDS happened.
Sorry. I was there with him.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. He was bummed out. So anyway, go on the Temperance Spirits.
So neither of us have been on this tour, but it's great beer, and it's in Evanston, and there are now a lot of things to check out in Evanston.
Yeah. There's at least one other brewery up there that I can't.
There's Few Distilling.
Few Distilling's up there, yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. A buddy of mine's got a nice beer restaurant up there called Farmhouse.
Oh, yeah.
You should check them out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really coming on. So, cool. Next one up is Sketchbook Brewing.
Oh, yeah. We're starting with all the ones that I've never been to, but I have had these guys' beer, and they're really nice guys. They've self-distributing, I believe, and they were part of our self-distributed event here at Kaiser. They are up, where are they? In the north? They're in Evanston as well.
There we go. So there you can do two for two.
Knock out two. What do they say about it here?
They're using local source stuff. Local hops.
Wisconsin hops.
Michigan malt. And, really, that's awesome. And
which is an interesting movement because, you know, everyone wants local, right? And, the argument is how local is local beer when everybody is getting their raw ingredients from, you know, basically the same suppliers who aren't local.
Right.
And, you know, like when we went and saw that micro maltster, I think this is... I think things are going to go this way, where you're going to have smaller maltsters sourcing grain from in-state, which is what this guy does in North Carolina, and you're going to see more hop, smaller hop farms because, you know, people don't realize hops can really be grown in a lot of climates. Pretty much any climate that has all four seasons, I think, you can grow hops in. In Chicago, you can grow hops in.
Yep.
Michigan, you can grow hops in. Wisconsin, you can grow hops in. So I think we're going to see more of that where they're actually making local beer with local ingredients.
And it makes sense, and I think you're spot on. I'd heard, like, touring and stuff, talk to people who are involved in the hop farming in Michigan, and it's absolutely exploded. Like, the number of acreage, just compared to a few years ago, it's insane how quickly that's growing. So it just shows it. And I think that's another thing, too, where it's going to be almost easier for the, in a certain way, for the smaller breweries to use that stuff, because the bigger boys...
It's impossible for them to use it.
They need right. so much. So.
Sierra is trying hard to make their own out in Chico, and even with their barley and their hop farms that they have, it really only supplies one beer that's seasonal. They're literally only making enough for a couple of batches of beer a year.
They need like half the state of Iowa to like farm them their barley.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of barley to make beer.
Yeah, so cool. And then next up after that, we'll just run Empirical, which...
Yeah, and they are opening another brewery with a small five-barrel system in the old main stage in Rogers Park.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's right. This just came out, right?
Our whole staff actually went to Empirical, their current brewery, and they did a really nice tour for us, and... we try to get the staff out on local brewery tours every month as an educational thing, and these guys were one of them. Really great guys, and like us, they're part of the Feral Cat program.
Yeah, I was going to say
Chicago.
That's kind of one of their shticks. Right?
Yeah. So the Feral Cat program is where the city places feral cats in your backyard. In our case, they placed them in our beer garden, and one anyway. Ours is named Bacon. And
I didn't know you guys had a feral cat. That's
we do.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. And their job is to kill rodents.
So it works out for, and breweries with storing all that grain and all the ingredients for beer, they're going to have that'll help handle that. I would assume
that, and brewers seem to love cats.
Yeah, they do.
The world loves cats. Internet loves cats.
Yeah.
our cat has its own. Instagram account.
Oh,
Bacon the Kaiser Cat, I believe.
Do you know that if you get that Instagram account up to like 50,000 followers, you can charge like sponsored posts? You can do like $500 a post.
In that case, everyone follow Bacon the Cat, Kaiser Cat, I believe. I don't even know what his handle is. This isn't working out for me. I think we're up to 200 followers. So
yeah.
Another 49,800. I'm getting paid.
That's awesome. No, and they're kind of Empirical's kind of shtick, I believe, is kind of really calling attention to the science behind beer and also allowing them their brew pub. At least this is how I think they originally anticipated was they could kind of come out with beers at their brew pub or they're not their brew pub, but their tap room and allow the kind of consumers to say what were the best beers. And then those would be the ones that they might put into actual sell and bottle and sell. I'm not sure if they're still using that model, but I just thought that was a really kind of neat way. I'm sure all brewers do that to some extent, but I know that they were kind of pushing that as well.
Yes. That's why it was a great educational tour for my staff, and I'm sure it will be for you as well if you go by Empirical.
Yeah.
And in the same area is Metropolitan Brewery, our good friends. Tracy was a guest on the show.
Yeah. Thank you, Tracy.
Yes, thank you, Tracy. They, I believe, their tours are, you'll have to book it online, I believe.
Yeah, and I don't even think they're touring right now. I think they're waiting for
because they are moving to a new facility. And the new facility, you can listen to our podcast to get all of the information on that. If you go back to episode 7, I don't know, whichever episode Tracy's on.
Yeah, and I'm looking so forward to that new brewery.
Oh, 8. Stuart says it was 8.
Thank you, Stuart. She did confirm that they will do tours when that new brewery is rocking and rolling.
Yeah, and it's going to have a tap room with a beautiful view of the river.
Yep. Yep.
And yoga. Yeah, Tracy's into yoga. So they're going to do yoga there.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Go for the yoga, stay for the beer. I'll just go for the beer. But
yeah, I'm not. I don't think anybody needs to see me doing yoga. I don't.
I want to see you in yoga pants.
You know, one of my college nicknames was Hot Pants, but I think it was an ironic one.
A lot of college nicknames.
Next.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if I want to hear the story behind Hot Pants. So stay tuned for Metro's new brewery. It's going to be killer.
Yep. Next up, Lake Effect Brewing, which is an apt name for today as we get these Lake Effect snow showers coming in.
No question. Lake Effect is a brewery that I was privileged enough to do a collaboration beer with. Clint is the brewmaster owner over there. Great guy. He's kind of a mad scientist. And what I love about Lake Effect is, I mean, it's really, when you go to Belgium and you visit like these really tiny breweries, you're not seeing, you know, state-of-the-art equipment or pristine brew houses or any of the stuff I saw at Sierra Nevada. You're seeing, you know, some reused tanks, some dairy tanks, some, you know, what looks like a workshop, basically.
Kind of do-it-yourselfers, kind of putting stuff together.
Cobbling things together and, you know, and making beer out of it. And that is what Lake Effect reminds me of. It's hilarious. They opened a little, it's not a tap room, but it's a growler bottle shop. And there was literally like a hand-scrawled sign. Because they're not that easy to find. They're off the expressway, but then you have to walk up kind of a gangway-ish driveway. And there was like a hand-scrawled sign that just said, you know, bottle shop with an arrow. And that, you know, it's a good indication of what you're going to find, which is really, really great wild yeasted beers. You know, there's a lot of barrel aging going on. I would say maybe, I don't know the percentage, but probably half of their beer is coming out of barrels.
Yeah.
And it is it's really worth going the extra mile for. It's killer beer.
That's awesome. Cool. Next up, we've got Half Acre. Oh, I've never heard of these guys. You know,
yeah, they're a little brewery out there on the north side. You know, so Half Acre's got two breweries now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they give tours at the new one yet.
I don't think they do. I think. They have and it's going to be huge, right? It is huge. The Balmoral one.
Yeah. We took our staff out to the new brewery.
Yep.
And got a tour, and there's a lot of open space. Obviously, a lot of potential for expansion.
Yep.
The brew house itself is taking up maybe a third of the space.
Sort of, a lot of it's
open. Yeah. And then they have this gigantic parking lot that they were talking about turning into partially turning into a beer garden. And then they have a whole other building that's empty that they are trying to get a license for a pub for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but as we all know, licensing is half the battle in Chicago.
Take them a few years, but they'll get it. They'll get there.
Yeah. But we'll talk about the original brewery, which you can tour,
which
also has a wonderful tap room with great food.
Yeah.
They do Mexican food burritos, right?
And I think the last time I toured there was like 2011, and I was like, I need to go back because I think they've just totally, it's going to be a totally different experience. I was up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like the description in the reader says it's a, you know, pretty intense tour, probably one of the more intense ones in Chicago in terms of timing. A three-hour tour was what they said, just like Gilligan. But you know, they're going to go through a lot of different aspects during that process. And then, the food. I was there when they didn't serve food, and then they allow you to... they didn't have a tap room for the longest time. Then they opened the tap room. Then they allowed you to bring it in. Then they serve food. And then they're like, we're going to serve food. You know?
They're really an organically grown brewery. They started with this pretty small brewery. Yeah. I think it's a 15-barrel brew house.
Yeah.
And, they started contracting beer out of Wisconsin. Which didn't go great. But then they opened this 15-barrel brew house. They expanded that into this growler-filling bottle shop, which on release days would have lines down the block. And, you know, I don't even think they could believe how much beer they were selling out of this little, kind of kiosk attached to the brewery. And that, you know, enabled them to then expand into this tap room, which was just jammed from day one. And quite frankly, I was surprised when they started serving food. I was like, I don't think you guys have to.
Right.
You know, you're
right.
Pretty busy.
Line's done. Yeah.
But they do, and it's really good. And it's, you know, a fantastic destination down in North Center.
Yep.
And a whole bunch of other places you could see on the same day. You could hit Fountainhead, great beer bar. You could
Bad Apple, good burgers.
Apple is right across the street. Yep. Incredible food, great beer.
Yep.
So lots to do in North Center beer wise.
The other breweries that we'll probably be touching on, including Empiricals, not really that far.
No.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a whole beer belt, if you will.
It is. Chicago. It's becoming a whole little beer-cation destination.
Yeah.
And that rhymes.
And you got to trademark that, man.
Right, I'm trademarking it right now.
I would say Half Acre for kind of people visiting Chicago is probably one of those that would be a pretty standard play in a good way that you would want to. It's one of our older breweries in the city, and definitely one that you'd want to hit in kind of a can't miss fashion. Although the lines and crowds can be intense, so be careful.
Agreed.
Yep. Cool. Next up, Dovetail. Oh, ho, ho.
Dovetail. So, I am going. I'm going to say this is my favorite tour. It is. I believe Saturdays, maybe Sundays. You do have to book it in. It does sell out every week, and these guys are new on the scene, and it takes a lot for me to get excited about a brewery that is new to the scene on Chicago, because they seem to be opening every day.
Yeah.
And funny enough, these guys, I was checking out Band of Bohemia, so another brewery also in that whole corridor, who won a Michelin star.
Yep.
I want to say
I think they were the first brew pub in the country to do so. I might have made that up though, so
no, I think that might be true.
Yeah.
No fake news here.
Yeah.
On the beer.
That's right. Alternative beer facts.
Yes. And so I was sitting in there, and two guys, one with a giant beard and both wearing, you know, brewery hoodies, sat down next to me, and I started talking to them, and they were like, you know, we're opening a brewery. And I was like, oh, great.
Just like, throwing massive shade at them.
Like, it's called Dovetail. Have you heard of us? I'm like, no, I haven't. Sorry. Like, well, it's right down the street. Do you want to see it? Yes, I do. And they proceeded to tour me. This was only about 2 weeks for their first brew, maybe a week for their first brew, and literally just blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know, it was as if every great idea I've ever had for a brewery culminated and actually came to reality. And so they are very German-based. They have this incredible German brew house that they bought used, I believe, out of a barn behind Von Stefaner.
Oh, no kidding.
In the world, yeah.
With a cool ship, right?
With a cool ship. The cool ship is new.
Is that new? Okay.
Yeah, they made the cool ship, but they have all open fermenters, which is very common in Germany, very not common in the U.S., which basically means there's no top on your fermenter. So the beer is just, you know, fermenting open, and the Kreuzen is up on top, and you can harvest yeast right off the top of those containers. It adds, in my opinion, in their opinion, which is now my opinion, it adds a complexity to the beer that is hard to pin down. They also do a lot of decoction, which is another, it's a process during mashing where you take a portion of the mash. The mash is basically hot water in your grain steeping, and you take a portion of that into a cooker, cook it to a higher temperature, and then work it back into your mash. And it there's a lot of, you know, there used to be a lot of arguments about whether this really was necessary or whether it did anything. I am convinced it does. I think it adds a complexity to a beer that you just don't get without doing it. I think it's very worthwhile for light beers.
Right.
It adds this complexity to a light beer that you just don't get otherwise. It's kind of silly to do it for a dark beer. I don't think you're going to see much difference, or a really flavorful beer. Maybe not a dark beer, but something with a ton of malt or alcohol. But for these light lagers, it is, I think, essential. And not a lot of small breweries in America have the capability of doing it. It's just basically having another cooker that you can pump the, you know, portion of the mash into. And then on top of that, you know, so that's like my favorite style of beer, right? We all know is lager. They're making this incredible lager. And then what's my second favorite style? Rausch beer. They're making this fantastic Rausch beer. And then what's my third favorite style of beer? Lambic. And they are also making lambic, and not just wild ale style or lambic style. It is truly spontaneously fermented in a cool ship, pumped into what are actually used bourbon barrels that were used by Revolution Brewery, and then letting them sit for years. So none of this lambic beer we will taste. I've gotten to nose a few casks, and they vary wildly from cask to cask about what's going on. And they are going to wait and see, and, you know, if it... They must have some money because, you know, they claim if it... This is an experiment. If it doesn't work out, they're dumping it.
I was like, the balls on these guys. Because
yeah.
I went up there, and I was just like, oh, my God. They started brewing, and some of their first beers won't be ready for 2.5 years or whatever it
was,
2 years.
I know. They're taking me through and explaining. And I just... You know, I had so many questions, and I left there going, you know, for the first time in years, I'm excited about a brewery opening.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't let me down with this, you know, with these first batches.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
And they've become a huge seller at both of my bars.
Right.
And their tour is killer. They take you, you know, and who knows how long this will last, but it's Bill and Hagen are the owners and brewmasters, and they take you through and they show you everything from their water filtration to the cool ship to the lambic room to the open fermenter. I mean, you'll see it all. It is well worth it, and the beer itself is well worth it.
Yeah, I would say, and I wish I could disagree with you on this to make a podcast a little sexier, you know. but I would say, like, if
there's no sexing up this podcast.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll wear yoga pants. No, that would have the opposite effect.
Yeah, that would definitely have the opposite effect.
Opposite effect. But I would say, like, I kind of hate to do this, but if you put a gun to my head and were like, "What's your favorite brewery in Chicago?" I think these guys would be it, because I have yet to have a bad beer from them. Every beer they make is exceptional, and it's exceptional in styles that are somewhat understated in kind of a tradition. They're not hop forward beers, so which I think makes it even more impressive in what they're doing. I just think they're fantastic. I just can't get enough of these guys.
They're even aging the hops for their lambic.
Jeez.
You know? So they've got bales of hops up on that third floor aging, because that's what the lambic brewers do, you know? It's going to be a unique product because, you know, they've got these old Revolution barrels. They've got this yeast they don't even know what it is. You know, that's... I mean, it could be a brewery, you know, they don't know.
Yeah.
Because there's all these breweries around. Who knows what's infecting these batches?
Right.
They really don't know.
And they were telling me that even the fact that the L is close, it's really close to their brewery, and it kind of it'll run past the brewery, and it'll kind of subtly shake the barrels. It'll vibrate the barrels. And they're like, you know, it's even that subtle movement will really influence the flavor of the beer.
It will, and it'll also speed up fermentation, a little bit of vibration.
Yeah.
It'll be a unique Chicago product that you truly won't be able to get anywhere else.
Yeah. And I think they corrected me because I was like, oh, lambic, and they're like, Chicago inspired lambic, or you know, they kind of like
there is a legal definition of lambic, and
they
are not
were
in
like,
it because they are not in the lambic.
But I kind of respected that. They were like, hey, you know, this is kind of a Chicago thing, even though this is the style. So, oh, man. And then they were, we're talking about this a lot, but they were telling me what, and correct me if I'm wrong, so they take the lambics, they're ready. Traditionally what you do, and Pat's going to probably correct me a bunch here, is they mix, they'll taste each barrel, and each barrel, based on what microorganisms are active in those barrels, will have a certain flavor, and then they'll blend the barrels.
Yes.
And it, to try to find that right balance between, you know.
The true art of lambic making is not really the making of the beer. I mean, anyone can you know, and get a leave a beer out, let it get infected, and throw it in a barrel. So that's not the hard part. Hard part is then taking those barrels and blending them in a way that is delicious.
Yeah.
And that is what they've yet to even tackle. Yep. But yeah, you'll go through, you taste them, and then you'll kind of say this one, you know, has a sweet flavor, or this one is honey, or this one is vinegar, or, you know, whatever. And then you try to mix them together and see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, and then they were saying that then they can serve that fresh, like exactly like that blend that they come up with, or they can mix it with fruit or other things.
Yep.
Or they can age it additional times, and then they can blend it with other fresher batches. I mean, and then I was like, so really there's almost an unlimited thing you can do with this stuff when it's ready. And I was like, wow.
That's what we did with my Lake Effect collaboration was a Chardonnay barrel aged, not a lambic, because we inoculated it with Brettanomyces and Pediococcus and Lactobacillus. So we added bacteria and wild yeast into it. And then we let it sit for 7 or 8 months in the Chardonnay barrel. And then I felt it was while it was delicious, it was just overly acidic. So then we took a fresh beer and blended it in. It just kind of opened up all the notes, which, you know, I hope more American sour beer makers kind of figure that out, because a lot of these sour beers on the market right now, to me, are undrinkable. I mean, making the most sour thing in the world is not the point.
Yeah, yeah, and I know what you mean, and they can be flat and just hit one, and they're not complex either. They can just hit that one note.
Sour Patch Kid candy is what it tastes like.
Yeah, and they don't have any depth to the flavor. Yeah.
I mean, you add just a little bit of fresh beer in there, and it just opens up all of those flavors. Our Chardonnay barrel-aged beer went from just super acidic to suddenly we got, you know, once we added the fresh beer in, we were getting pineapple and mango and, you know, some overripe banana and all of these other flavors that you just couldn't get because the sourness was punching you in the face.
Yeah, very cool. Oh, man. Well, that's awesome. Well.
So that's So Dovetail, go see them. Even if you don't do the tour, they do have a tap room that's open. Check their website. It's not open every day.
Yeah. And then right like 2 minutes away, our next brewery, 2 minute walk is Beguile.
Yes. Another great little Chicago brewery who are in that brewery corridor. They've got a great little tap room that's open. Yeah. I want to say 7 days a week, and they have skee ball in there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I enjoy the skee ball room.
They even have, I know the guy who runs a league, so if you want to do league play, it's
that
really,
skee ball machine, I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's like a smaller one. It loves me.
Yeah, oh, really?
I'm nailing it on that thing, and I'm not that good at skee ball.
I played in the league 1 year, and I never would assume skee ball is a skill game. But I lost so handily to all these players that now I truly believe it. It's incredible.
It's a skill you don't apparently possess.
I do not. But yeah, you can check it out. And
I know my buddy Boris is listening to this podcast. I kicked your ass at skee ball. You remember that? And your wife, MJ.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those are fighting words right there.
Especially with MJ. She's very competitive.
And Kevin, who's the founder there, he's a fellow original Michigander transplant. So I always like to support him. He's a Flintstone, I believe. So not far from where I grew up. We've bonded over that. So
cool.
Shout out. And they're a
good beers.
Yeah, good beers. Great brewery. Check them out. All right. Next up, the Green Star, which is in the Uncommon Ground, up just right around the Wrigleyville area.
Yeah, I believe same owners. I think maybe they had to have different names for legal reasons. But, it's the Uncommon Ground people, and they are organic.
Yep.
Which is not easy to do in brewing.
Right. And I feel like that's another trend. I'm starting to see more. I believe there's another brewer that's starting to get going, and the name escapes me now, in Chicago, that's trying to do an all-organic brewery. I assume that will be another thing. I mean, personally, it's probably not my passion, but I can respect the ideology behind it.
I mean, there's certainly a market for it, and I'll tell you, organic hops are hard to do because hops are so susceptible to pests, that organically growing them is a challenge. And I think they give you a break though on that aspect of it when you're trying to get organic certification in beer. Very cool. I have not had their beers. I have not. I've driven by it. I have not been in it. It's very small.
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those. It's going to be a pretty, it's a very small place, so the brewery tour is probably not going to be as like an extensive as like a half-acre brewery tour, but that's just based on size, but you should definitely still check
them
out.
And it's walking distance from Wrigley Field, so if you're in for a game,
get over
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know their coffee's good.
Yeah, for sure. next up, another brewery you've probably never heard of, Revolution.
Yeah, just a little brewery on the north side. Yeah. So this is for Revolution. Also has two locations.
Yep,
they have this really, really wonderful brew pub on Milwaukee Avenue.
Yep,
that to me was one of the first brew pubs that really nailed beer and food.
Yep,
it seemed to me for a long time that brew pubs were either doing one or the other really well. They did them both really well.
Yeah,
It's
funny to me because when I lead beer tours, I kind of go Revolution, and the shtick is like, and they're one of the city's oldest breweries, 2000, and they started in this location 2010, I believe, and you're right, and they quickly became extremely popular, and deservedly so.
Yeah, the brew pub is incredible. Get there, expect to wait, but you can always get a beer, but the tour is at their Kedzie production facility.
Yep.
And this is their monster brewery. It has a gigantic outdoor fermenting tanks. I don't remember the exact barrel size. It's something just ridiculous, 600 barrel tanks or something.
Huge. Yeah.
Huge. They have this giant tap room, no food, but you're sitting amongst all of the barrel aging beers and big bar, beautiful place. And the tour, I've never taken the official tour. I've taken, obviously the
VIP
the friend tour. Yes. it is a very cool facility.
Yeah.
Really worth checking out. The brew house is cool. The canning line is killer.
Definitely more of kind of a cutting edge brewery than some of these others in terms of what they do there.
For sure. Yeah. This is one to see all the equipment and all of the stuff that goes into a large scale brewery.
That's awesome. Yeah, they're great. Cool. Next up, Hopewell. By the way, Hopewell was one of those breweries where they opened, and I was like, "What? Who? What?"
Totally. They came in and sold me beer, and I was like, "Who? What? Where'd you come from?"
They opened up a little over a year ago, I believe. It was early January 2016. Kind of just jumped on the scene. And up over, not far from Revolution, kind of up in that Logan Square, Avondale neck of the woods.
Yep.
And they're great.
Yeah. And, they're also one of those rare breweries that came to me very early on in their existence, and their beer was really good.
Yep.
A lot of times I have to tell these people, hey, I know this is your first batch of beer and you're eager to sell it, but maybe come back with your third or fourth batch of beer.
Yeah,
Tweaks always have to be made. These guys were making pretty good stuff right out of the bat, and it's only gotten better. Their brew house is really cool. They have a tap room that is pretty large and very happening, especially for a place. The tap room law in Chicago says you can only serve beer and beer that's made on the premise. So it kind of limits the choices, and that doesn't seem to matter over there. That place is jammed. I've been by a couple of times, and frankly, it makes me feel old and ugly because it is filled with young, beautiful people. I feel like a creepy old man in the corner sipping my beer, but that's probably good for a lot of people.
No,
I am, yeah. No, it's... there's no question that I am old and creepy. But... it's a really happening, cool tap room, and if you get the tour, the brewery is just super clean, really nice layout.
Even the tap room there is just crisp. It's got crisp, clean lines. Very, very interesting place. So,
yep.
They have their I forget the exact name, but it's their cold brewed. I believe it's either a porter or a stout, and it or no, maybe not. Maybe it's a lager. I think it's a lager.
Well, that's what I mostly buy from them. Yeah, they're making some really nice lagers.
Oh, man. And I tell you what, this thing, it tastes like it has so much flavors of like a cold brewed coffee. It's 4%. So in the summertime, it's like a perfect beer. You know, you can just drink a ton of it. Ah, great spot. So
check them out. Hopewell.
Cool. All right. Oh, next up.
Off Color.
Oh, man.
Yes, good friends of ours. We we love Off Color. First bar they were ever on tap in. Little trivia for you, Patty Long's.
All right, all right.
Yes. So Off Color is John Lafler and Dave Blatner, and they make sort of hard to describe beers. You know, you're not going to see an IPA. You're not going to see a lot of traditional styles. They resurrect a lot of old dead styles, a lot of old German styles that, you know, I hadn't even heard of. A Kaltbusser, whatever that is. I'm not saying it right, but it doesn't matter because it's an extinct style. but they have resurrected it, and it's delicious. They make this really nice goza called Troublesome.
Yep, yep.
And we rock that beer in the summer here at Kaiser Tiger. The tour is great. A shout out to Jess, who operates their bottle shop and I think does a lot of the tours. And it's just very irreverent what they do. They are, you know, they don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, I love the reader's description. And talk about a brewery that fits with the reader. Kind of the smartassery, which I say that in a loving way. Like, I feel like that's like kind of captures the brewery spirit there.
They're funny guys. Often you'll see their rep, Andrew Tater, running around in a dinosaur costume.
Yeah.
That dinosaur costume has seen some action.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope he gets
wouldn't want to smell that thing.
Man, I hope he gets a dry clean occasionally because it's out late, the dinosaur costume. Yeah.
I would also say that the Apex Predator, which is kind of based on, I believe, a Saison style, is one of my favorite beers in the city. I just can't get enough
it
of it.
It really is tasty. Really good beer. Okay.
So,
everything they make is fantastic.
Yeah. They're also opening up are planning on opening up a brew pub, I believe.
Yeah.
I think it's in Lincoln Park.
Yes.
Right by where the Goose Island tap room, once it opens, is, you know, that kind of Clybourne North.
Yeah, the North Clybourne corridor.
And I mean, I believe it's like 6,000 square feet, something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty decent.
It's going to be great. Yeah. It's probably a ways off. But in the meantime, I'm pretty sure you can go to their bottle shop almost every day.
Yeah.
Check their website. But and then the tours, you'll also have to check their website for. But fun guys, great guys, and great beer. Really, really good beer.
Yep. Yep. They're definitely at kind of the top. Top tier Chicago brewery, I would say.
No doubt.
Yeah. Next up, we got a little Goose Island.
Never heard of them.
Never. Another one.
The brewmaster is downstairs right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Goose Island. Well worth going to. This is another brewery to see craft beer made on a large scale.
Yep.
And the barrel room alone is reason to go. It is. I don't know. Someone proved me wrong, but I think it's the largest barrel aging program in the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to say world.
Yeah.
Because this is beer opinion.
This is beer opinions.
Not beer facts.
Yeah.
That alone is worth seeing, but the brewery itself is really great.
Yep.
And then they have recently opened a really nice tasting room in there.
Yep.
Where I believe you can get Bourbon County Stout year round.
Yeah.
All of you clickers out there who have to have some. Get over there.
I believe, and by the way, we're not talking about the brew pub. First of all, the brew pub in Wrigleyville is closed. It's gone. The brew pub in Clybourne.
But soon to reopen.
Is it going to reopen up
it's closed.
In Wrigley?
Yeah. Oh, in Wrigley. Wrigley is gone. Wrigley's been bulldozed.
Yep.
That is an empty lot right now.
Yep.
The original brew pub on Clybourne is closed for renovation. I imagine it's going to look a lot like the tasting room at Fulton Street.
Yep.
Basically, they were looking, when Anheuser-Busch bought Goose Island, it was not legal in Illinois for them to buy the brew pub.
Right.
So they didn't. But then laws changed and they figured it out, and now AB I owns the pub on Clybourne as well. So they're shutting it down for a revamp, which I think, you know, a lot of people were kind of nostalgic about it. I was not. I never liked the layout of that pub, I think.
I hated the layout of that place.
Yeah.
It felt very 1980s to me, which I guess was...
It did, yeah. And the rectangle bar, you know, had kind of bottle deck issues and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to Kaiser Tiger. But we're not closing to remodel anytime soon. ABI hasn't bought us yet. When they do, that's what we'll do. So that's being renovated. I think it's going to open up in a few months. We're talking about Fulton Street.
Yep. Their actual production facility here in Chicago, that's really big.
Really big, but not as big as are they our next one?
I hope so, because this is quite the segue.
Let's just go to them. Lagunitas. So,
oh my God,
Lagunitas is I think it's a must go see.
Yep.
Just for the sheer size of what you're looking at, it is monstrous. I think they're looking at 600 million barrels coming out of there last year, and they're trying to ramp up to 1.2 million. Is that right?
600,000, yeah, 1.2 million.
And they're going to go up to 1.2 million because they basically just put in another brew house
and
mirrored what was already going on there. It's incredible. The tap room is nice. It's kind of overlooks everything. It's up high. And then they have a catwalk.
I love the catwalk. I just think in Chicago it's unique. You know where you can kind of walk around the top and kind of look down at the brewery. And I mean, you just kind of see the pure size of the place. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it was a super smart design to, especially for tours. And the tours just go all day long.
Oh, they just clock them.
So yeah, you just show up there. Yeah. You get yourself a beer. You go up to the tour guy and sign up, and they start every, seems like every 15 minutes they're going.
Yeah, and when you walk in, they have a nice little Willy Wonka. It's like an adult playground.
Willy Wonka theme song has been playing in the hallway for, how long has it been now, 3 years?
Yeah.
Nonstop. I mean, I can't believe the person sitting in there hasn't blown their brains out. You know? I mean, I'm about ready to blow my brains out, and I've only visited, you know, a dozen times
so. You're like, okay, I get it.
Can we change the tune? If Tony McGee's listening, he's not, by the way. He's not listening. But if he is, put on a Pandora station or something, crying out loud.
Oh, man.
But great place, and, of course, wonderful beers, and they don't serve Heineken there, though. It's weird.
Yeah, right. Talking about the Heineken buyout. Oh boy.
I would buy a Heineken there. I don't buy a Heineken. All right. Yeah. So next is a neighbor of ours here called Entour Brewing, and they are very close to Goose Island Fulton Street.
Yep.
Very close to Kaiser Tiger, and very new, incredibly new. They took over, you know, another. They're in the, I would call it the warehouse district.
Yep.
And it's a production district here in Chicago, and they have a really nice big tap room. I have no idea what the tours are like. I had a little quick tour of it before they opened from the owner, and I have tasted their beers, and they're pretty good. They are, like I said, brand new, so only getting better, and you know, a nice little tap room to go visit.
Yeah, big open space, a lot of room in there.
Yeah, and which is good for them because when they were opening, I was like, oh, you got another production brewery. We don't really have that much room for any more of those here in Chicago.
Right.
But when they showed me the tap room, I was like, that's good. You know, if you can sell majority of your product directly to
on
the consumer
site or direct,
then you're going to be just fine.
Yep. And their social media marketing is fantastic. They have great stuff online, so check them out for sure. Cool. Next up, we were just there a few weeks ago.
We were. After the Chris Quinn podcast, we went up here. This is Cruz Blanca Cerveceria, a Rick Bayless brew pub. And, you know, go for the beer, but stay for the tacos, I would say. The tacos are out of this world.
Yeah.
They are so good.
Yeah, I have yet to find a Rick Bayless spot I don't like.
I know.
So,
you know, that guy, from all accounts, too, from everyone I've ever talked to, he is a really, really nice guy.
Good dude.
Yeah, good dude to work for. and the food is phenomenal. I've been all of his spots. I have nothing but praise. And the beer coming out is really good. I really like the design of the brewery there. It was done by Phil Wymore from Perennial, formerly of Half Acre, formerly of Goose Island. And they have the cold room sitting underneath the brew house. So everything just flows down from the fermenters right down to the serving tanks or bright tanks, whatever they have down there. And it's a lot of brewery in a very small space.
Yeah.
They have a two-level restaurant bar for the Cruz Blanca. And then on the other side is a fine dining Rick Bayless concept that I have not eaten at because I think you needed a reservation like 2 months in advance or something.
Yeah, I can't afford that. So.
I can't plan that far ahead, but I will be in there someday.
Yeah. Next up, Haymarket.
Haymarket. So we're just going right up Randolph here from Cruz Blanca up to Haymarket. You know, Pete Crowley, a very good, very old friend of mine.
He's such a nice guy. Like another good dude.
Very good dude. He they just opened a production brewery in Michigan,
Bridgman, Michigan.
Yeah. So I haven't seen him since. I think he's spending a lot of time over there. You know, Haymarket, like Kaiser Tiger, we're on the same stretch here. They were, I think, the very first like kind of casual concept on this restaurant row that we're on, where you could just go in and have a beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bar.
Yeah, because it was just high-end restaurants.
It's just you couldn't chill out and you couldn't, like, go in and have a session at the bar or anything.
Yeah.
Haymarket, you could, and that's why we opened Kaiser, because we felt there was room for more of that. And, you know, it's a pretty straight-up brew pub. You know, the beers are fantastic. This guy brewed forever at Rock Bottom.
Yeah.
And if you know, you can say whatever you want about Rock Bottom, but they teach guys how to make beer.
Yeah.
And when you have to make those corporate recipes the same way week after week, you learn what you're doing.
You learn how to be consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has won multiple GABF awards, multiple local brewing awards, you know, great beer. And the tour, I've made a beer there. I've never had a tour, but I imagine it's just you stare at the tanks, they're right there in the pub itself.
They have some other stuff that goes on there too. They have like the drinking and writing theater. They do some fun stuff that you guys can
They have a back room that has all kinds of things going on and just a fun bar, fun brew pub.
Yeah, and I'm glad they exist on this row because
they were one of the first, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, without them this row, you know, might not, well, it would still exist, but they got in very early.
Yeah.
And they're on the corner of the epicenter of what's going on down here.
Go get a little Al Cheval burger and then follow it up with, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, or get in line for Al Cheval and go over to Haymarket and drink while you're waiting for your table.
Get in the line at Al Cheval, come to Kaiser Tiger for some bacon, a bacon board, and some beers, then go back. And then
that's
go
a bit
to
of a
Haymarket.
Walk, but you know, knowing the weight at Al Cheval, you'll have plenty of time.
Yeah. All right. Next up, this is another one of my personal favorites, Moody Tongue.
Yeah, I have not been to this tap room. Everyone's talking about it. It's on my list, and you know, I'm hearing great things. Have you been over there?
I have not, but I've also heard great things. And the thing I love about it is that they have such a different approach. So their tap room is, I would say, the kind of culinary high-end experience. And so you go in there, and really the only food that they have is 12-layer chocolate cake and oysters. And that's what you're going to get that pairs with their beer. Listen, I get it. You know, I'm a more of a pizza burger guy, but I think that, and the passion, from that brewery, is just amazing. I think that Chicago's beer identity is obviously multifaceted and is still developing, but one of the approaches is kind of this culinary approach that Moody Tongue takes with their beer. And I think it's really interesting. So.
Yeah, you know, Jared is the brewmaster, owner, whatever. He has a culinary degree. He was also the brewmaster at Goose, Clybourne.
Yep.
And so he takes this food approach to beer. And, you know, so he ends up with a lot of different ingredients and then also trying to make beer that is really meant to go with food.
Yep.
So you're not going to get like a, you know, sort of a run-of-the-mill session beer out of him. It's always going to be something interesting and something different. And go check it out. It's supposed to be pretty cool.
Yeah. And
especially if you like chocolate cake and oysters.
Yeah, and I feel like in a weird way that what he's doing is perhaps, and I'm
not sure I get all of that. I'm going to have to go, and then, I don't
really... This could be a point of disagreement.
I know.
I like it. This is what we need.
I don't want to, like, say this is, that I don't like, because I haven't been there.
Yeah.
But I don't get it yet. I need to go and experience it, and maybe I'll get it, or maybe I'll...
Topic for another podcast.
Yes.
I
like oysters.
I met
him. I'm not a big chocolate cake fan, but
he taught a brew you thing that I took just a couple months ago down at Dussex. I can never say the thing. And I tell you what, he was able to talk about it in a somewhat what he's doing is somewhat pretentious because it's kind of this pairing food with beer in a very kind of higher end way, but he does it in a very approachable way, which I appreciated. Like, I thought that, because that was my concern, and I really appreciated kind of what he said. And
he's also famous for, like, the most expensive beer ever, a truffle
Pilsner. Which I tried. I tried it there.
Did you? I have not tried it.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty good.
Got truffles in it.
Yeah. I mean, by trying it, I mean, because, so this beer retails, I think, for $120 a bottle, if you can find it. Which drives me up the wall in general for beer. But I was like, oh, hell, I'll try it. And you get like, we got like a 1 ounce thing because it's just so expensive. It's like a fine whiskey. But it was.
Do they sell a 1 ounce sample?
They sell, no. At their brew pub, I think you can buy a 5 ounce sample
for how
when
much?
They have it for $20. Oh, man. So there, be warned. But good, check it out. Yeah.
Sounds like it might go well with oysters.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Umami.
Umami, yes.
Yeah. All right, next up, Bederbrau.
I went to this brewery recently, and I was impressed. And I'll tell you why. First of all, Bederbrau has a lot of nostalgia for me. This is an old Chicago brand that popped up when I was in college. And it was started and owned by this crazy Polish guy who he was an ex-cop and then he was got into like the world of finance and then decided to open a brewery. And I mean, his enthusiasm and everything was infectious, and he made this killer German style Pilsner called Bederbrau. And he basically made two beers. He made a Bock and a Pilsner. It's like light and dark, which was very common in Germany, still is. And if you go to some of these brew pubs, they only give you two choices, maybe three. So we fell in love with this beer because he had the claim that you could not get a hangover. Because it adhered to the Rhine High School. And we were like, oh, we're going to put this to the test. You know, we were, and it became like kind of the unofficial beer of my college rugby team.
Okay.
And once a year, we would throw this big party and we'd drive out to the brewery and buy the kegs. From the man himself, Popovich was his last name or something. And it was just really a rare thing in 1992, 93 to have this Chicago-made, very German-style all-malt lager. Then he was ahead of his time, you know, so he went out of business. And the label first got bought by Goose Island, and they produced Bederbrau Pilsner for a little bit. It was terrible. I won't say it was terrible, but it tasted nothing like the original. Then it kind of went dormant for years. And then this guy bought the label and resurrected it and was having a contract brewed out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and the story, he had to search for years to find the original yeast, like, strain. Like,
yeah,
this
and he
story,
found
yeah.
the original brewmaster, who was an ex-Stroh's guy,
okay.
this old brewmaster who came up with the recipes and stuff. And he did track him down. He's never tracked down the crazy owner. So he found out what yeast they used. And when I first met him, he gave me the impression that, he was another one of these guys jumping in the beer bandwagon but didn't quite know how to go about it. So he bought this old label that, you know, quite frankly, had already lost its luster. Goose kind of killed the brand. And those of us who did remember it were not really a proper craft target audience, you know. We're all in our 40s. We're not out drinking tons of beer every night.
Slamming it.
I am. Yeah. But, your
but that's
average,
your job. That's
right.
Your job.
Yes. You know, it's like, my job. It's my, that's what I tell my wife.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it just didn't make any sense to me. And obviously he spent money on the brand. I'm not sure why, you know. And then he was having it made at a kind of a poor contract brewery up in Wisconsin, and it didn't taste very good. And I, so I told him as much. And I think he took a little offense. But, you know, he was like, well, you know, I'm going to open my own brewery. And I said, well, you know what? Come back to me when you do, you know, and I'll give you another shot. And true to his word, he did. And what he brought me was very good, kind of mind-blowingly good lager. He hired a brewer from Lagunitas, and he invested in a really nice brew house. Don't quote me. I think it's a German brew house. He is doing decoctions. He has a capability on his brew house to do decoctions. He has this killer mash press that literally, it kind of looks like a filter, but it takes the whole mash, gets pumped over there, and literally squeezes out every last drop of wort out of it so that you're getting, like, an insane efficiency number. They've got a big canning line. It's a huge space in the South Loop right off of Lakeshore Drive near 55.
Yep, yep.
And big pub. I really like what they're doing. Yeah. You know, and they're making lagers, so of course they're in my wheelhouse. So I highly recommend going to see this. I could see these guys growing into this space immensely. You know, they're going to have to get big on the retail side. I know they just got into U.S. Cellular Field, the White Sox Park, and that's going to help.
It'd be a good baseball beer, that
Yeah,
Bills.
They've got a great Helles called Southside Pride, and highly recommend that beer. It amazingly does sell on the north side.
Yeah, right. You can also, down there, that's kind of like the south. I think it's cool because we're kind of going geographically around the way here.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of breweries down there.
Yeah, and you know, you can also, I don't think Motor Row's on the list, but you can check them out. They're really close.
Motor Row, great brewery.
And then Vice District, they don't do tours at Vice District, but you can check them out as well down in that
nice
area.
Nice little tap room at both Motor Row and Vice District.
Yep. So, all right, I think we're getting close here. We got a few more. Sorry, buckle up, guys. Hold on to your butts. A few more to go. We've got another great brewery, Five Rabbit.
Yeah, so they are a Latin American inspired brewery.
Yeah. They claim to be the first Latin American inspired brewery in the country, which they opened up in 2011.
I think it's probably true.
Yeah, and I was thought
now they're the second one in Chicago because Cruz Blanca.
Yep.
I would say has kind of gone off their playbook a little bit.
Yep.
So yeah, they take, you know, it's not necessarily beers from Latin America because basically.
That'd be a Pilsner, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it'd be nothing German, but industrial.
Lager. Yeah.
It's more the ingredients, I think. They take Latin American ingredients and incorporate them into their beer. So all of their beers have, you know, strange fruits in them and spices. Randy Mosier is involved in the recipe formulation. He is a famous beer geek around these parts who wrote a great book on tasting beer and. I've not been out to see them. They are in.
They're out in the burbs. They're in Bedford Park.
Bedford Park,
Or not burbs, but they're down that way. And I've been down. I was down there for a Brewers Guild meeting a few years ago. It was like the hottest day of the summer, like 110 degrees, and they had no aircon. I mean, and nor should or they had aircon, but it was like. Just overwhelmingly hot, and it wasn't their fault. And I had such a great time down there. Great, big, relatively big brewery facility. I'm not sure the barrel, what I don't remember the size precisely, but, and then they kind of really, they had like a mariachi band. I mean, they played up to that kind of their history, which was really cool.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Definitely check them out. This has been one of those breweries that has really grown on me over time.
Yeah, it's also another brewery that started out contract brewing, and there were some bumps in the road with that, with some of their liquid early on. But they've been in this brewery for a while, and I think they're doing very well.
Cool. Next up, Argus Brewery, which I have never been to, but it's far south side, down like 99th, I believe.
Yeah, it's, you know, I haven't been there since they started brewing, but this used to be part of the beer tours of Chicago, because it is an old Schlitz stable, back when beer was being delivered by horse-drawn cart.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so the building itself is really neat. Now, Argus is another one of those breweries that, you know, I think was having a little trouble early on with their liquid. It wasn't really coming out great, and then they kind of turned into a contract brewery. They contracted some Five Rabbits beer that didn't turn out great either. But there are new people in charge, and from everything I've heard, the beer is tasting much, much better.
Good.
So that is good. Other than that, I don't know how much we have to say about Argus.
Yeah, I've heard that their brewery tour is actually quite good. So from a pure play tour perspective.
And I'll tell you, the architecture on the stable is really cool.
Cool. Next up, another Chicago classic, Two Brothers. Going out to the burbs a little bit here.
Yeah, and they've got a couple locations.
Yep.
So the original is Warrenville. And you know, there's a Rock Bottom out there that's pretty great, too. Yeah. And that has a restaurant and a pub, and they're sort of bigger brewery. And then they bought the old Roundhouse Brewery in Aurora, right?
No, yeah, yeah, I think that's
don't
right.
Don't quote me. The Two Brothers Roundhouse used to be, way back in the day, Walter Payton's Roundhouse.
Yep.
When Walter Payton had a short-lived brew pub. But the Two Brothers have taken it over, and... they apparently revamped the whole thing. The Brown House itself is a really cool building. It's as it sounds, it's round. But it's some old, like, I don't know if it was an old barn or some kind of old agricultural building. It's really neat looking. You know, Two Brothers have been making some really great beer lately. And, you know, so definitely check them out.
Yeah, and they also just recently opened up a beer bar in Naperville. So they're kind of...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think it's called... I don't remember the name. Gosh. St. Patty's name.
The Two Brothers themselves are... they're doing very well. They had the big craft distributor here in Chicago, and they sold that to the Reyes Company in, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago for a... lots of millions of dollars.
Tidy sum?
Yes, for a tidy sum. And they've since opened a coffee company. And
I think they're out in Arizona as well, right?
And now they've gone out to Arizona to start another distributor because they realize that's where the money is.
Yeah.
That is where the money is. That's a whole other podcast.
Okay.
Distributors.
Okay. Get ready, folks. Finally, last but not least, another Chicago classic, Three Floyds, which... you know, most beer people will know.
You know, one of my favorite breweries, as we all know, I drink a lot of Alpha King.
Yeah.
Nick Floyd is an old friend, and the brewery, you know, people think that it's this tiny little brewery because it's hard to get the beer, but that's really more from demand. It's a pretty big brewery, and they grow every year, and I know they're adding a distillery, which I've checked out a little bit. I think they're having some licensing issues getting it open, but they're going to have a distillery out there as well. And, of course, the pub itself is pretty small. The lines are huge, but they have a nice takeout window for, you know, all of you people trying to get your cases of zombie dust and whatever it is you need. And then the tour itself is pretty cool. You know, they've got a beautiful German Braukon system that is really killer. I mean, it's just been great to watch this brewery grow over the last 20 years. You know, it's been a pleasure to see it happen, and I'm very happy for those guys.
Definitely deserve success. Although, if you're going there for a beer tour, just watch for the crowds, because it's going to be...
The crowds are insane, and they are in the middle of fucking nowhere. Yeah, I mean, they are in an industrial park in Munster, They are the only reason to go to Munster. So maybe there's a sweet donut shop there, but other than that, I can't think of a reason to go to Munster.
Three flights that coming up, right? Or Dark Lord Day.
Dark Lord Day is coming up, and you know that's a whole nother
podcast.
And probably not a great way to see the brewery.
Yeah, right. Oh man, and tickets are sold out probably. So I don't ask me about Dark Lord tickets.
I know nothing.
Pat Berger's phone number is if you need tickets.
Don't call me.
Cool. Well, that wraps it up. And I was thinking, I don't know, just real quick to riff on this. I know we're running on a lot on time, but. I was just thinking, I thought it would be interesting just to talk for a few minutes of what makes a great brewery tour, because you go out there, and you kind of, you know, and breweries vary so much in kind of size, scope, and history. So I kind of put some thoughts together, and did a little research online, and then you can kind of chime in.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. So the number one thing, and this is of course very biased from my perspective, is the most important thing, I think, in a brewery tour is a tour guide. I have a friend of mine who runs a food tour business, and he sent somebody out to Europe for a summer internship to take as many tours as they could. It's like the coolest job ever.
Yeah.
To write a big report. And they call back like two-thirds of the way through, and we're like, hey, you're going to have a 100-page report, but I'll tell you, it's actually pretty simple. It's the tour guide. You know, you can make a tour of a sewage plant awesome, just like you could make a tour of a brewery terrible based on who is leading that tour. So
you would know.
Yeah. So definitely tour guides. And when it's beer, in my opinion, you know, you keep it fun. At the end of the day, it's beer. You know, you don't take a beer tour to you know, get your PhD necessarily on a Saturday morning. You're taking it to enjoy, to learn a little bit, and have a good time. So
yeah, you know, I agree with all of that. What I like to see, I want to see the brewery.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sounds stupid. You're taking a brewery tour. Of course you're going to see the brewery. But that's not necessarily true.
Right.
You know, go take the Guinness tour. You won't see a single piece of working brewery equipment. It's really cool. The tour is neat. It's interactive. And it's but it's a museum. You know? They don't show you 1 inch of their working brew house. So I want to see that. I want someone, like you said, the tour guide. It's all about the tour guide, and I want one that is capable of answering my technical nerd questions. That often, you know, it often happens where they're just like, I don't know, you know? And I get that. I'd rather have them say I don't know than make something up. But, you know, get someone in there with some knowledge of how things are working in there. And then, of course, include some samples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... taking a brewery tour dry is
the
painful.
Worst. I went online. I went into some forums on Reddit and Beer Advocate to kind of see what people, because these questions have been posted. You know, what makes a great brewery tour? And the number one thing, and it's surprising, no one
on Reddit
was free beer or you know. Cheap, you know, that it can be included in a cheaper price. I mean, my personal thing, I don't think free is necessarily important as long as there's enough of it that makes the price point worthwhile. But yeah, I need a beer before I go in. I need a beer maybe during the tour, hopefully, and yep. I need a beer after the tour, probably numerous ones.
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
Yeah.
When I was growing up in St. Louis in high school, my high school wasn't too far from the brewery, from the Anheuser-Busch, and senior year Fridays, we would drive straight to the brewery and take the tour, which was a dry tour, until the end. And then at the end, you had a half hour of all you could drink.
Oh.
Perfect way to start
pre-game.
A Friday.
The best pregame ever.
It's amazing ever. How many beers you can shove in your 18-year-old mouth hole in a half an hour.
Oh, man.
And by the end of my senior year, I could give that tour.
Yeah, I bet you could. I've heard the same thing, by the way, about Sam Adams in Boston. I don't know if it's still the case, but I heard that you know, it's a good, you know, well-lubed-up brewery tour that a lot of college kids out there will definitely kind of use to start their weekend.
Yes.
So, you know, and then just to kind of wrap this up, I think, you know, is there anything unique and interesting about the brewery? Tell your story. You know, like I like to, when I go on brewery tours, it's like, what are your values and why are you brewing beer? And you know, what what makes your brewery unique compared to the others. It's not always easy to do so, especially if you're a new brewery, but that's what I like to see. And then is there anything unique about the beers being brewed, any particular cool ships or unique brewing equipment being used? Are there, you know, anything like that? So that would be kind of my take on that.
For sure. Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. We are running out of time. I've got to go and pick up my children from school. It's pretty lame, isn't it? And Bruce probably has to go, you know, keep on drinking all day.
You know, I got a couple more.
You and your single life. Must be great. Jealous.
Oh, man. Jealous, man. Yeah.
So what do you got going on? How's the tours going?
Tours are coming up? Tours are going great, and they're starting really to, ticket sales are starting to ramp up as we kind of get into the meat of the season. Bucktown's now open. Loop is opening up in April, now going to hire some new tour guides and get everybody trained up. So
awesome. Yeah, summertime. That's your time, right?
Yeah, exactly. How about you?
I am going to plug, hopefully we get this podcast out by then. Here at Kaiser Tiger, we're going to have our annual Goose Island BCS Bourbon County Stout release. That is going to be Friday, March 24th.
Is that why those guys, I snuck in here and they were...
You don't know. They had no idea. I told them about it when they came in. We wait here to do it just kind of until everything dies down. These beers all came out a couple of months ago. It's kind of we do them at Patty Long's right away and then we kind of wait here.
Makes it a little more fun.
The winter, December is pretty crazed here. March is not so crazy, so it's one way to get some folks in. So March 24th, which also happens to be my buddy Boris's birthday.
Boris.
Every podcast, happy birthday, Boris.
Happy birthday, and I heard not very good at skee ball, but, you know,
terrible,
we'll let that go. Happy birthday.
And, so that's about it for us here, coming from... Kaiser Tiger, the Beer Opinions Podcast. Thank you all for listening, as always. And thank you, Bruce, for everything that you do.
Likewise, Pat. Likewise. Thanks, man. Have a happy St. Patrick's Day and good few weeks of March here.
Absolutely. Be safe.
I don't need no other lady.